Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. It's time to unleash your imagination and open your heart. And here to help us is one amazing actor and animal advocate, Broadway star John Tartaglia. Hey, welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad
Great you're here. As a puppeteer on the Broadway Smash Avenue Q, you really know how to pull some strings. But now you're here to pull some heartstrings and discuss your role with the World Society for the Protection of Animals. And bonus, listeners, you've got to tune in very carefully. Perk up those ears, because we're going to get a couple of guest drop-ins from who, like John, are helping better the lives of animals all over the globe. Who are they? I can't tell you. You got to listen to the show. So we're going to learn about life on Broadway with John, how he shares his home with a couple of cool canines named Dora and Parker, and more right after we pay for the show by taking a commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Hey, boy, how you doing? What am I doing? I'm creating your own life book. It's a website that's just for you. Remember that picture I took of you pulling off Lisa's bathing suit? Yeah, I know, me too. I'm putting that awesome picture on your life book page. We'll see what comments we get. And that great video we took of you standing on the table with your head inside the turkey? That's definitely going on there. No, it's easy. It only took me 2 minutes to set up your page. I chose a great theme, and I can connect with millions of other pet parents. I can also create a memorial life book. No, not for Grandma, but we can make one for Fluffy, remember her? And we can even put links to our favorite pet charity. And friends can make donations. People can create their own life book for their pets by going to PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com. Or they can sign up on the Pet Life Radio homepage. Where's Lisa? She's outside by the pool. Hey, come back here! Create your own life book for your pet. PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest in the house is John Tartaglia. Hey, John, I'm looking at your bio, and I think there's not enough time on the show to go through everything you do. You act, you sing, you're a master puppeteer, and gosh darn it, you dig dogs, right?
I sure do. Thank you for having me on. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit. Let's go to the canines in your heart. You've got a couple of Cocker Spaniels named Dora and Parker, and how in the heck did you guys hook up?
Well, Dora, we got down in Asheville, North Carolina about 4 years ago, and she's just a dream. She needed a place to live. She was up for being rescued, and we rescued her. And she just kind of fell into our heart. But I'd never had a Cocker Spaniel before, and I've heard so many wonderful things about them and their nature and how they are with humans, and I just couldn't believe how loving she was. And then Parker, about a year ago, there's a wonderful charity that happens once a year called Broadway Barks here in the Broadway community, which is where all the Broadway performers and all the Broadway shows get together and basically raise awareness and money for animals and shelters. And Parker, we had promised ourselves that we weren't going to adopt another dog because at the time we weren't sure if we wanted to, we could, we just didn't know. And we were at Broadway Barks, and Parker was there, and he's also a rescue dog, and he had been born with hip displacement.
Oh,
and
wow.
As a puppy, a lot of pain. And I guess his previous owner had taken care of him as much as they could, but he was in so much pain, required so much treatment that they had given him up. And so luckily, a very, very kind-hearted vet or doctor took him in and paid for a very expensive surgery themselves and performed it themselves. And basically what they did was they took out his hip joints, and so now his legs are free-floating. The only thing that holds his legs to his hips are muscle and scar tissue. So he took like 8 months of recovery, and I mean, you know, anyone who was going to adopt this dog needed to have the right demeanor and the right time and the right love to take care of him. And we saw him there at Broadway Barks, and we just fell in love with him. He would just had the most wonderful, for a dog that went through so much pain and so much trauma, being born with what he was born with, and of course going through surgery and recovery, I mean, you'd think that would really kind of scar a dog, and he was so full of love and so sweet. So my partner and I saw him and took him in, and that was the end of it. We just completely fell in love with him, and he's been the most amazing addition to our home and to our family. So we've had him for about a year now. So we couldn't resist.
Well, you know what? You made the right call there, John. And how is Parker with Dora? Are they pretty good?
You know what? It was funny because we really were a little unsure, because Dora, for all intents and purposes, was the princess of the household. You know, she certainly got the most attention, but she's always been kind of motherly. And what we watched was, it took them about 2 weeks to really get to know each other, but she went from being a little jealous of him to starting to actually take care of him. And they've kind of settled into this wonderful brother-sister relationship now, which is really kind of amazing. So, you know, I know people always ask, you know, if I have a dog, should I get another one? What do you think? And I do think it probably depends on your dog and its demeanor and how well you know the dog. But from our experience, it's actually been a wonderful thing to watch this kind of little relationship grow between the two of them. And now they're kind of inseparable.
You know, I'm picturing a couple of Cocker Spaniels with a bowl full of spaghetti noodles, kind of like Lady and the Tramp here. I don't know. Could happen, right?
Well, I don't know if they'd say it was that good, but it certainly, like a brother and sister, they love each other, and and at times they tolerate each other.
All right. Well, they do give you a lot of love, and they give you a lot of laughter, and to me, those are pretty good free medicines these days, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, for me, it's just, you know, it's so cliche to say it, but everything that people say about animals and how they calm you, and they just, you know, they really do. They, you know, you come home and they're always there for you, and there's something just so wonderful about that. It's kind of irreplaceable.
Well, you're kind of an unusual performer in the fact that you get nominated for a Tony by being behind the stage, if you will, when you took on the role of Princeton and Rod in Avenue Q. So congratulations first for being nominated for a Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical. That's not everybody gets that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
But it's kind of like people don't see you because you're behind the scenes.
The funny thing about Avenue Q was, you know, because both myself and the puppet were on stage together, you know, you got to decide which performance you were going to watch and which one you were going to focus on, which I think was kind of part of, the charm of the show, was some people only wanted to watch the puppet's work and some people wanted to watch my facial expressions and my work. So I think it's you know, it was definitely, a dual nomination for, for some of the work that the puppet characters did, too. But, yeah.
Were you one of these kids that just was watching, you know, Pinocchio nonstop as a kid? I mean, how did you get involved in puppeteering and working on Sesame Street? That's, I think you got on at age 16?
Yeah, I grew up acting. I come from a showbiz family. My mother and my father and my stepmother are all involved in performing or the arts. And so I grew up kind of, you know, loving theater, loving being backstage, loving that whole world. And when I discovered the Muppets when I was about 6 or 7, I completely fell in love with them. Not so much that they were puppets, which I definitely liked, but it was the fact that doing puppetry and being a puppeteer career allowed you to do so many different characters and voices, which is something I love to do. You know, I was always the kid who was doing funny voices to make my mom laugh, or, you know, pretending to be characters and things like that. So puppetry allows you to do that. And I think that that's what I latched onto, was the kind of the ability to be anything you could dream up with a puppet in your hand. So I started very young, and through a series of kind of incredible events, I ended up working my first day at Sesame Street when I was 16. So it was just, it's just incredible. I mean, I feel so very lucky. I had a lot of people supporting me and believing in me.
All right. You teed me up, so I got to hear you with Ernie and Oscar the Grouch. Let's hear it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, come on.
Well, Oscar I never did the voice of. I never did the voice of Oscar.
Well, let's do Ernie.
Ernie I did for one season, and he was really fun. So never, ever as good as the originals. That was all by chance, so, you know. Well, I filled in where I could.
No, you did that pretty good. What about, do you want to do either a Rod or Princeton from Avenue Q?
Well, yeah, they were very different. You know, Princeton was a college grad who was kind of an idiot to some degree. He was very naive. So he was similar to my voice, but he was a little bit more like this. And he was kind of like, you know, a little younger and kind of nerdy and, yeah. And Rod was an investment banker. Let's see, how do we describe him? A closeted Republican investment banker. So he was very kind of uptight and kind of quiet voice that was very kind of nasal and stringent, and he was very uptight, and I had this laugh like that. So they, you know, they were actually Nikki and Rod. Nikki was Rod's roommate. Were very much lovingly based on Bert and Ernie. You know, not directly by any means, but you know, they were influenced by that relationship. So yeah, it was so much fun to do that show. I had such a blast.
No, you did that very well. I'm wondering if your dogs, Dora and Parker, never know who the real John is. I mean, you must be practicing your voices at home.
They certainly have gotten used to, you know, lots of different voices. And you know, it's funny because it's like, you know, you don't, I'm sure you know this too. It's when you have an animal, you know, you speak in these voices to them like you speak to a baby sometimes, and you realize how silly you sound. So, you know, if anything, it's good research.
Well, you're hoping that the paparazzi aren't around slowly, secretly filming you and putting you then on TMZ later on, right?
Very nice. Very nice. Yes, exactly.
Well, we're speaking to the very multi-talented John Tartaglia. He is here to talk to us a little bit about the World Society for the Protection of Animals and what life is like on Broadway and at home with his dogs, Dora and Parker. And we're going to learn more right after we take this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash. Right after these messages.
Hey, love to read, but just never seem to have enough time to sit in one place long enough? For all of us on-the-go people, Audible has the answer. Best-selling audiobooks for your iPod or MP3 player. For Pet Life Radio listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Choose from hundreds of today's bestsellers, including awesome pet books such as Bad Dogs Have More Fun by Marley and Me author John Grogan, Love That Cat by Ingrid Newkirk, It's Okay to Miss the Bed on the First Jump, and Other Life Lessons I Learned from Dogs by Seinfeld's John O'Hurley, and many, many more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/behave. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/behave for your free audiobook.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
TeachersPetSessions.com.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Leona Lewis, and there are lots of things that matter to me. My family, friends, and my music. But like so many of you, I'm an animal lover too, and their welfare also matters to me. I support the World Society for the Protection of Animals, WSPA, because they are trying to end some of the most appalling acts of animal cruelty in the world. From bears forced to fight and dance for entertainment, to dogs, our closest companions, shot, poisoned, and left to die, WSPA is committed to ending animal cruelty everywhere, and we can all help. Many years ago, I promised that I'd do all I could to care for animals. Now I make careful choices like the food I eat and the things I buy. One reason animals are so vulnerable to cruelty is because there is no universal agreement between nations that animals can suffer and feel pain. Imagine, your support could inspire world leaders, inspire them to recognize that animals suffer and need greater protection. Inspire them to achieve this by strengthening laws and putting into place stronger protection. The campaign for a universal declaration on animal welfare could be the beginning of the end for animal cruelty across the world. It's up to you to give these animals a voice and stop the cruelty and neglect right now. Thank you.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Landers of Dallas fame. You have got to listen to Arden Moore on OBehave on PetLifeRadio.com, bringing together pets, people, and more. It's cute and it's fun.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to OBehave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the OBehave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am delighted to have John Tartaglia in the house. He is the man of many voices, and he has one good focus, and that is to help pets and animals all over this planet. I mean, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the World Society for the Protection of Animals. I saw your nice little PSA on their homepage, www.wspa-usa.org. Did I get that right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so let's talk about how you hooked up with this group.
It was brought to my attention by a good friend of mine named Rhodey, and she has worked with them for a long time and mentioned that they were interested in having me be a spokesperson for them, which I was so incredibly flattered by. And, you know, I started doing a little bit of research on their mission and what they stand for, and I was just so taken by it. And I think that, you know, it sounds so obvious, but, you know, we as humans have to speak out for those who can't speak, who are the animals. And I think that, you know, in this day of, I don't know, mass industry and world population being, you know, so out of control and everything else, you know, these poor animals are losing their homes, losing their, being treated awfully in many ways. And I think just any kind of animal cruelty is unacceptable. So everything the World Society for the Protection of Animals does, I think, is just incredible. And I wanted to be able to lend my voice to them, and I'm honored that they wanted me to do so.
I think they picked a perfect person for that. And, you know, I'm checking on the site. You guys got more than 1,000 different animal welfare organizations on board from like 150 countries. And it's been something quietly going on for a quarter century, but I think getting you involved is really going to bring it more to the forefront.
Well, I think it's, thank you. I think what's wonderful is that it, you know, we're all from different walks of the entertainment industry helping to represent, you know, so you have Simon Cowell, you have Leona Lewis, you know, of course representing, you know, the pop world and the music world and Hollywood, and then, you know, hopefully I can represent my corner of the world, which is the Broadway world and children's television. And, you know, it's just saying that we're all from different walks of life, maybe, but we all believe in the same thing, which is, you know, just to protect these animals.
You know, that's good timing, John. In fact, I think Simon Cowell is here to talk to us a little bit about the campaign with the World Society for the Protection of Animals. It's called Animals Matter to Me. Simon, glad to have you here. Talk a little bit about what has happened to you to make you be part of this campaign.
I remember one particular day, I was having the worst, I thought, day of my life. Everything had gone wrong. I was depressed, sad, and I went home, and there waiting up for me was my pet dog. And he jumped up, licked my face, was happy to see me, and everything was happy again. That's my favorite story about a dog. It's boring, but it's true. When I was growing up, we had pets, and I got to, at an early age, to understand that you have to respect animals. People saying that animals don't feel pain, don't suffer, trust me, is complete and utter rubbish. If you mistreat an animal, it will be distressed, and they feel pain like we do. I think where we are in the world today, I think animals deserve more protection. I don't understand how anybody can get pleasure from hunting or killing animals. I totally do not understand it. I think we've gone beyond that, and I think there should be more international laws. The only way you can influence governments is by you showing that you care. And if you care and you tell somebody else, you start to create a movement. If you keep quiet about it, governments ignore you. So you just have to raise a voice, and it doesn't take much to do that. Please visit the site to show your support. It really will make a difference, and thank you.
That's very well put, Simon. I thank you for coming here and stopping by and sharing this very important message. Our special guest today is also John Tartaglia. He is the spokesperson for the World Society for the Protection of Animals. You got quite a lineup with Simon Cowell and others. Yeah, and it's not just the dogs and the cats. You guys are going to help out wildlife and things like that, correct? Farm animals? I mean, you're covering the whole gamut.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's surprising to see how many things are going on that we don't know about and how many incredibly, you know, inconceivable, cruel things are happening to these animals around the world that, you know, because of, you know, their lack of media attention or, you know, there's a better news story to cover, aren't getting out there. And, you know, I think anything we can do to help to raise people's awareness and to, you know, to help encourage people to want to be a part of that protection is vital.
I think we need to give all these animals their own, you know, smartphones so they can be, and opposable thumbs, so they can be texting us when they're in trouble. What do you think?
It would be a lot easier if it was that easy, let me tell you.
I got something from Burma coming in.
Exactly. A giraffe in Schenectady is texting me or something, yeah.
That's right. But I do think you are making the world a more connected place. And, you know,
thank you.
We need animals. Sorry, folks, without the animals, we really don't exist.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we're lucky enough to be the ones who can speak and the ones who can make a difference and actually get something. So if we're going to be at the top of the food chain, we need to do something about our responsibility on the way down. So I think it's important.
Okay, so now what's up next? Are you speaking anywhere or are you working on the web? What's kind of your role with the WSPA?
Well, I'm just here to be their spokesperson where I can. So, you know, our videos are up at the website, as you spoke of, and hopefully I'll be doing a lot more work with them as much as I can.
No, I think that's great. We all give you a pause up for that one, John. And
thank
also,
you.
John, I got to ask you, man, and somehow in between trying to sleep and feed yourself and take care of Dora and Parker, you come up with this amazing live musical adventure. It's called ImagineOceanTheMusical.com. And I was listening to some praise coming to you from, I guess he's a reporter out of City Life, Stuart Lewis, and I have to give the man his due. He said, when describing what you've created, he said, think Sesame Street meets the Muppets at the bottom of the sea. And I'm thinking, what a great image. You tell us a little bit about Imagine Ocean, the musical, because it looks like a delight for kids and people who have kids inside them of all ages.
Well, it actually started as a show I created originally for Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines.
And,
yeah, and they wanted a musical for kids that took place under the sea. And the idea came to me to use backlight puppetry, which I don't know if you know what that is, but it's basically puppets that are made with fluorescent and glow-in-the-dark material that are lit only with black lights, and the puppeteers and the sets are all black. So basically it looks like the puppets are free-floating, which is amazing for an under-the-sea show because it looks like these fish are really swimming. So this idea came, and then the opportunity came to take it to Off-Broadway, to New World Stages, which is an amazing off-Broadway theater complex here in New York City. And we've been there ever since. We opened March 31st, and it's an hour-long show for families, and it takes place under the sea. It's about three fish friends, Dorsal, Bubbles, and Tank, who are best friends, and they find this treasure map, and it takes them on a journey through the ocean to find this treasure. And along the way, they meet jellyfish, they meet an octopus who's very sweet named Leonard, and they, you know, get caught in currents, and there's a huge imagination number with LED lights and fiber optics and everything like that. And basically at the end, they finally get to the treasure and they find that there is no actual treasure, but the real treasure was their adventure along the way with each other. So it's a really sweet show. And it's definitely got that kind of, you know, multi-leveled humor that the Muppets always did so well. So, you know, my goal was to write a show that definitely appealed, of course, to preschoolers, but also to parents, too. So the parents were pulling their hair out going, "What can I get out of here?" And it's got this amazing original score by William Waze, who's an amazing composer. So it's been so much fun. I'm having a blast doing it. And, if you're in New York City, please come check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Tell how they get tickets. Yeah, we need to help. We need to pack the house, John.
That's right, pack the house with animal lovers. You can get tickets by going to www.imagineoceanmusical.com, and that's Imagine Ocean, Imagineocean, themusical.com.
That sounds perfect. And you've been doing this since March, huh?
It's been March 31st, and it's been amazing. You know, for me, it's a show I've been lucky enough to be in a lot of shows, and having done my TV show, I've been able to, you know, be part of that, but to write a show and to have created it and to see kids going in every day and watching it is just so rewarding. And, you know, hopefully it'll make them aquatic animal lovers, which is, you know, another important thing to be aware of is the sea. So, you know.
Well, you take on a lot of roles. I mean, I'm looking at your bio in Magic Mirror in Shrek the Musical. I love the Magic Mirror. How'd you like that role?
That was a lot of fun. It was a dual role. I played the Magic Mirror and Pinocchio. It was a blast, you know. I mean, those movies are so much fun, and I got to help kind of develop the character from almost the beginning of the process. So, you know, to be part of anything that is on Broadway is amazing, but to be able to kind of create a role on Broadway is the most amazing thing in the world. So, you know, it was fun. Pinocchio was you know, he's such a little, you know, troublemaker, and the Magic Mirror was just like, sarcastic kind of game show guy. So I had a blast. It was really fun.
You've also been in Wicked, correct?
Maybe the show you're thinking of is I was in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's right. For Luminaire, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. See, I'm getting there, man. I'm working it.
It's okay.
Roles? I know you're very talented and all that, but I mean, do people just kind of tap you on the shoulder? For all those aspiring Broadway actors out there, how do you make it?
There's no right or wrong way. Everyone has a different path, you know. I mean, for me, I was pounding the event ever since I moved here at 18. And, you know, some people landed that way. For me, you know, I was lucky enough, to work on Sesame Street. And because of that, that drew the attention of the creators of Avenue Q. And that's what kind of led me to doing Avenue Q. And then from there, that kind of spiraled the rest of my career from Beauty and the Beast to Shrek and everything else. But there's different paths. And I think that, you know, the one thing I always tell people is you have to just believe in what you do, and you know, I know that it's another cliche thing to say, but you can't let anyone stop you in your path. And you know, I think this applies to any business and any career, any interest people have. But it's always going to be someone there who's going to tell you you're not good enough, or you know, you can't do this, or you shouldn't do this, or what have you. And I think if you believe in something enough, and you want it bad enough, and you are willing to make the effort to get there, you can do anything. And so I just always tell people that, you know, don't try to go off a formula. Don't try to let anyone tell you otherwise. You just have to trust yourself. But I do think that applies to anything. You know, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an actor, whether you're a clown, whether you're an investment banker, it just depends on what you love, and you have to follow that.
You know, you put that really well. And I think the other thing is, you know, with Broadway, you build on your successes. So you show up on time for your deals. And I mean, that has some merit too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny how in some ways, regular business and corporate business couldn't be more different from Broadway. And then many ways, it's the same thing. Some of the same principles apply as far as the way you treat people, as far as the way you keep your appointments. You know, it's the same dedication you have to make to showing up for an interview is the same dedication you have to make to showing up for an audition. It's the same principle. It's just a different format.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Now, what's up next? I know you're doing this with you're working with the World Society for the Protection of Animals. You've got your Imagine Ocean, the musical going on. Anything
right.
you can tease us with that you might be doing coming up in the next year so we can take a look for you?
Well, I can't talk about a lot of it, but definitely developing another role in a new Broadway musical and launching a few other versions of Imagine Ocean.
Oh, cool.
And working on some new TV stuff. So it's all kind of in the hopper. There's a lot of stuff getting ready to happen. So I wish I could talk more about it, but, you know, it's all good stuff, all good stuff.
Well, your lips are sealed. I was going to try to be your muppeteer and try to get you to talk, but I don't think I'm going to be able to through the radio.
I've been trained well.
Now, do Dora and Parker, your dogs, ever get a chance to do any drop-ins while you're rehearsing or kind of go with you sometimes out and about?
It's funny, I've done a lot of outdoor stuff for the show, for Imagine Ocean to promote it and stuff like that. It's funny, every now and then my partner will show up with them, and it's so funny to see, you know, they have no idea what I'm doing. I think they're completely confused to why Daddy's standing there with a microphone singing or performing, but they're definitely our biggest fan, my biggest fan. We have a beautiful home up in the country that we take them to a lot, and, you know, oftentimes our backyard is where, you know, things are built or created or made, and, you know, they're always kind of curious, like, what's all this puppet stuff? You could tell that they're a little freaked out by it, but they I like to think that they're supportive.
Yeah, well, hopefully they don't leave their calling card mark, you know, while you're working on the set or anything.
I know, that's always one of my biggest fears. I'm like, clean it up.
Well, I am very happy that you've been a guest on our show. We're speaking with John Tartaglia. You guys know him. He has been a master Muppeteer. He's been on Avenue Q. He has an amazing musical for kids of all ages. You got to go check out Imagine Ocean, the musical.com. It's Imagineocean, the musical.com. Skip the E at the end of Imagine. He's doing
that's right.
To be imaginative, right, John?
That's right. You got to change it up a little bit.
That's right. And he's doing a lot of great things for not only dogs and cats, but wildlife and critters all over the planet as the spokesperson for the World Society for the Protection of Animals. And, John, how do we get to that site?
You go to, well, you said it earlier. Now you're going to be on the spot, aren't you?
Okay, I'll tell you up, man. It's WSPA-USA.org. And I really think that's commendable what you're doing. And definitely when I'm back in the Big Apple, I'm going to go check out your Imagine Ocean, the musical, and see where you're going to be starring in Broadway somewhere. Because you can't tell us right now, but I will find you, John Tartaglia.
Yeah, you're
and
dedicated
I will applaud
to that,
you. I will applaud you. I will applaud you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And please come see the show. I'd love to have you there.
All right, and thank you again for being a guest, and I also want at this time to thank my cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes this show happen each and every week. So this is your host, your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.